So we have two readings this morning, and the first one's really short, and Ruth is going to come and bring us that now. And this is from Luke's Gospel. Thank you, Ruth.
The first reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 50 to 53, the Ascension of Jesus. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And he stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Amen. Our second reading is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Amen.
Thank you, Ruth. What happens next? And to be honest with you, I'm beginning to wonder myself, and I'm sure Joan is saying, okay. Have you ever had that feeling there's a bit of a cloud between you and God? You know, it'd be so much easier, wouldn't it, if you could visibly see him, have Jesus here in the room with us? Do you remember those adverts for the bank manager that you used to keep in the cupboard under the stairs, you know, when you wanted financial advice? I sometimes think we treat Jesus a bit like that and wish he was like that, in my cupboard under the stairs, so that whenever I want him, I can open the door and say, "Look, come on, can you sort this out for me?" And those are the moments when there seems to be a cloud in the way. You can't hear, but do you know which film it is from? Brief Encounter. Now, I actually thought, should I show this in church? Because it's, you know, it was a post-war film. It's regarded as one of the most famous, popular, influential films of the 20th century. It's from a screenplay by Noel Coward, interestingly enough. But yeah, about a couple who meet sort of coincidentally, and their lives sort of become entangled, and then they realize it's just not going to work, and they have to disentangle that relationship. A very moving film. Saying goodbye, a tricky moment. You can see everything in today is all about clips that don't work. So saying goodbye is never easy, but what happens next? I don't like goodbyes, but perhaps being sad to say goodbye to Jesus is no bad thing. Perhaps it just means the disciples really loved him. Perhaps it just means there's a piece of their heart that was yearning for the day when they would see him again in glory, bringing the kingdom to its fulfillment. Perhaps that same yearning will help me to work for that kingdom here and now, to long to see Jesus in the way our community and society treats one another, especially the way it treats the least and the last, as well as the lost. The joy is that the Spirit of Jesus never leaves us and will always be with us, despite the clouds, despite him not being in the cupboard under the stairs. As we try to follow and serve Jesus, wherever we are, we long to think that Jesus is here in the building now. Well, of course he is, but he's also with us when we walk out through the courtyard and through the gateway there. Ascension is all about the kingship of Christ. It was not the final act of defeat, but the final act of victory, a redemptive act, enabling, nay, demanding participation by us. We have to be active in his ministry and kingdom. This goodbye was not a call to rest. It was not a call to give up. It was a call to action. And one of my calls to some of you for action this morning is take one of those prayer post-its, but not the one you wrote. Take somebody else's and pray for it this week. I say some of you because there aren't enough to go around for everyone. But it would be really great if at the end of the morning they'd all gone and that those people who wrote them know that they're being prayed for. That's your call to action for this week. And just as Jesus promised his disciples that he would give them everything they would need for the journey ahead, so he promises to stick with us. No matter how hard the goodbyes we've had to utter, and no matter how hard the goodbyes we've missed uttering. To the casual observer, it looks as if Jesus was abandoning his followers, doesn't it? You know, think about it. He's developed a friendship, an emotional bond. He's been with them for, what, three and a half years? He's been with them through good times and bad storms, tempests, feasts and festivals. He's changed their lives forever. Humble fishermen have become dynamic preachers. They've spent 40 incredible days with him after he rose from the dead. You know, their life has been a roller coaster of peaks and troughs of emotion. And then he spent 40 days with them, and then suddenly it's like another trough is coming up because he's saying, it's time to say goodbye. Jesus is going to return home, but before leaving, he says to them, there are some things I'm leaving behind. There are some things I want you to do. So what did he leave behind? Well, he left an unfinished task. I hate this. So Franz Schubert's Unfinished Symphony left incomplete at the composer's death, except I then find a website that says, no, he didn't. We've just found the lost manuscript. But anyway, that's besides the point. An unfinished task, whether we deliberately didn't finish it, and if you're like me, you're not a good completer finisher, you know, you start all those DIY jobs, but you never finish them. Talk to Christine. Or whether there were things that we meant to finish, genuinely meant to, and just ran out of time, didn't get to them. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is the unfinished task, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There's a job to do, a job to be undertaken, but not on our own, with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this gift is no longer bound to Jesus' help by, you know, rules of time and space, when he could only be in one time and place at a time only. And, you know, in verse 9 it says, why do you stand here looking up at the sky? Well, that could apply to all of us. Those of us who plan and scheme but do not pray. Those of us who pray and plan but do not do. just as the disciples were promised that Jesus will, not might, will come back, we're told to work for the kingdom of God here on earth, rather than sitting around and waiting and doing nothing. It's interesting, isn't it? This verse reminds us as well, baptism is not a denominational fad. It's a scriptural command to encourage people to be baptized. The unfinished task. And then secondly, an unchanging message. Now, what do you see in this picture on the screen? Two apples, but they're so different. One is red and one is green. Is that possible? Well, of course it is. They're both apples. The convincing proofs in verse 3 were all consistent with the message and the ministry of Jesus. There were no inconsistencies. The gospel message of salvation is here to stay because the same Holy Spirit is with us now. Can you just imagine what it would have been like if there was no ascension? Supposing Jesus had risen but had stayed here on earth, that God had decided to end the story short and not complete his plans through Jesus. Such thoughts, they're impossible, they're unthinkable if our doctrine and our faith is to make sense. So it's impossible not to think that God will indeed begin and complete his good work through you and me. He is the potter, but we are the clay. And are we going to be malleable and, you know, work with the potter, or are we going to fight against it and end up sort of a mush of clay on the wheel? Jesus left an unfinished task and an unchanging message. And we need to react to both of those things. We need to be active. We need to realize this is not a job for somebody else. This is a job for us. This always worries me when any congregation is thinking about employing a minister or a worker. Aren't we all ministers and workers? I recently came across this, and I'm going to finish with this, but it may surprise you where it's come from. Brothers, sisters, I speak to you, especially to those who no longer believe, no longer hope, no longer pray, because you think God has left. To those who are fed up with scandals, with misused power, with the silence of a church that sometimes seems more like a palace than a home, well, God doesn't shout. God whispers. I come to tell you that faith is a walk with stones and puddles and unexpected hugs. God doesn't need soldiers. He needs brothers and, I would say, sisters. And you, yes, you and I are one of them. Those were words spoken quite recently by Robert Prevost, perhaps better known as Pope Leo XIV. We are all one of them, brothers and sisters called to serve Christ, whose service is perfect freedom until he comes again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, isn't it amazing that in saying goodbye, you were also saying hello? And the expectation and the promise and the event of Pentecost was the proof that you have not abandoned us. And in spite of life's clouds, you are still there, and really you should still be visible to us as the invisible King, Savior and Redeemer. Thank you for those every moments in our lives when actually we look back and say, yes, you were there, and you were there, and you were there, but that you are with us now in the present and the future. And when we found it tough to say goodbye to loved ones, when we found it difficult to say goodbye to jobs and employment that we thought was so important, when changes in circumstances mean we have to say goodbye to a way of life or standards of living, you compensate beyond our wildest dreams and expectations because you meet our every need and you pull us into your love day by day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.